Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Squared Circle Society. I'm Daniel Stein, joined by the wrestling lover himself, producer Todd Loya.
Good evening.
Always every week, like Todd, we need to talk more wrestling. He's always telling me that. You know, we need to cover MLW, we need to cover TNA, we need to cover them all. So I finally caved. Yeah, here we are.
And that's all right. Remember it making you watch Welcome to the Bloom House.
Yeah.
You know. Namaste. He deserves it.
Yeah, here we are. Sorry.
Has to listen to himself? Jesus.
I have to listen to myself. So, yes, we're here. We're quadrupling up some dark side of the rings. And the reason we're doing that is because we've got the XPW.
Get that shit out of the way for XPW.
Yes. Well, way to respect Canyon and Luna, and we love them. But yes,
if they want to argue with me, they can say something themselves.
not special guests this week.
No, that's true. So yeah, guys, we're going to cover a bunch of them tonight. Always a good time, always a depressing time too, because it's not exactly the happiest show out there, but nonetheless, we love it. So we'll get right into it. Our first episode of Dark Side of the Ring was one that I was looking forward to quite a bit, because it's actually, he was somebody I was a huge, huge fan of, and that is the double life of Chris Canyon. So knew certain things about this. It was weird because I remember when it broke that he was gay back in the day, there's all this like weird stuff. Like some people said he was working a gimmick, particularly when they did that indie show with DDP, where it kind of seemed like they were making it into a storyline. So back then it was a weird thing because obviously different times, you really couldn't be an openly gay wrestler.
Tell that to Pat Patterson.
Well, Patterson was in management at a certain point, so I think he was covered, but he wasn't openly gay when he was wrestling. You know, little different.
Anyway. One of the worst kept secrets of all time.
Next, you're gonna tell me Harvey Weinstein was a never mind.
So, yes, on that note, I was a huge fan. I first noticed him, and I popped so hard when they actually showed footage, the Men at Work tag team. The stupid gimmick, but you could see, like, WCW Saturday Night, you could see, like, man, this guy's actually really good.
Who's the one that said they just come out to the ring and they start measuring things for no reason? That line fucking cracked me up.
Bennett, that might have been a Jim Cornette line. I can't remember who said it, but yeah, it didn't make any sense, but it didn't matter. You know, you tune into WCW Saturday Night for a look, usually at maybe future stars or, you know, seeing those veterans that they signed and didn't do anything with.
The Hacksaw Jim Duggan hour?
It was. I think I've lost track of how many times I watched Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus VK Wall Street, aka IRS. I think they wrestled 1,000 times on WCW Saturday Night. Same match always, but
quality stuff.
Quality stuff.
And they complain about now.
One thing I didn't realize was how close he was to the Bucks. I'm pretty sure I've heard them mention him before.
You want to know how dumb I am? I honestly thought Brian Cage just took that from Canyon. I didn't even had no idea he helped train him. I was like, oh, I'm dumb. That makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, actually, quite a few of his. I mean, that was the thing when you saw him back in the day. I never saw somebody drive somebody off of the turnbuckles like that. Stuff now that's commonplace, so much of it came from Canyon. But
I didn't appreciate it. I had no fucking idea.
Yeah. And then it got overdone, which is where we're at now. Because I loved Canyon back in the day, but.
But he wasn't a spot guy by any means.
That's what I'm saying. They took what he did and it became what it is now.
Yeah. It made
sort of like, I blame Sabu for some of the the reckless shit that happened after the no selling, but that's a whole nother. Maybe we'll ask, just move on.
Well, he won't be on the XPW show, so
I won't be surprised if he's interviewed.
He was interviewed
on our show, but he won't be on ours. Yeah, not now. But what are some of your memories? Like, where did you guys first kind of notice Canyon?
I'll go because I probably didn't start caring about him until after Ready to Rumble. I knew nothing. All I knew is like, oh, that's his stunt double for Jimmy King is Canyon, and so they're not even trying to hide it. But that's whatever. I love that movie. I think it's one of the greatest movies of all time. Not even being hyperbolic, it's just a great time, right? But like to learn that he like choreographed all a Diamond Upside Down is a damn.
Okay, now you can do it, dude. Now I'm okay.
But no, like whenever he came on screen, I was like, "Oh, that's just Canyon." I never appreciated his talent until watching this doc, and I feel like an asshole for not noticing how awesome he was. Because for me, I just took it for granted, kind of like with X-Pac back in the day. You don't realize how good someone is until you have other workers telling you, like, "Oh, this," and then you go back and look. I'm like, "Oh, you're fucking right. I'm dumb." Now with my adult eyes, I could probably figure it out, but back then when I was a kid, just buying everything, I give a shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with Dan. I think like I remember Men at Work, but it wasn't until Mortis that I think he really got to shine with a lot of his moves. And yeah, like while I hated Glacier, I loved Mortis, so it worked. I mean, Glacier was just Glacier.
But was it that stupid for the time though? I heard people say like, "Oh, Mortis." I was like, "Did you watch wrestling then?" There was nothing wrong.
Mortis was better than like. Glacier was straight up, you know, just Sub-Zero.
I liked all the fucking karate fighters and Mortal Kombat characters. You give me all that shit.
It definitely. Well, it's funny in the episode. I forget who he said like came up to him, but I think he talked to James Mitchell when the Hogan turn. It's like, yeah, we're done.
Yeah. No one's going to fucking outshine that at the time. Or now, yeah. Really. Like, that was a big fucking deal, and they nailed it. That sucks.
The gimmick, if he had done that gimmick a little bit earlier, I think he would have had a bigger run. But wrestling just changed so quickly around that time that then it just became, you know, a silly little masked gimmick. And it's too bad. Because I think he could have gone far with it. The only criticism people had were promos, which I thought he actually did a decent promo, but he had the lisp and everything. And back then,
so does Cody.
So does Flair. I mean, there a lot of great talkers have it.
True. True.
Flair has a lisp.
It's not. It's not like as bad as some. Or
yeah.
It's not as noticeable as some of the others, but.
I had no idea. I didn't even know Renee Paquette had a fucking lisp until like a year in. Like,
my wife
does?
Notices that immediately for some reason because I didn't notice the Flair until she pointed it out. Now I can't unhear it.
Yeah, this one made me sad. This episode really made me feel bad. I think one of the Ric Flair can't catch a fucking break. This show is like it's kryptonite. It seems.
He probably said no to the producers one too many times.
But go ahead.
I was like, that was just a mean thing to say. Like you didn't have to say that on air. Like there was a better way to fucking go about that. But at the time,
you're getting a WWE check and somebody. WWE, you attack. That's what they did.
They said Cena out there too. So
yeah,
yes, but that's a different like Cena's not. Well, now he's on the same level as Ric Flair, but like back then, like Ric Flair's weight carried more. Still, it's like I would believe Ric Flair over John Cena any day of the week. So that probably hurt more. Cena, you can just brush off. Of course, it's the fucking company's.
Yeah, he always towed the company line. So
yeah,
it had less weight.
But Flair was his hero, and you're right.
Which is why it was like a deeper stab than any of those, even over Mr. Yeah. Sinister, which we got to get to in a second. But
you could see it in his eyes. Like, yeah, just deflated him right there.
That, I was
like,
oh, he has mental health issues. He's a self-hating gay homosexual. Like, that sucks. I guarantee most of the guys, if he'd been straight up for it, would have acted like, what's Mr. Sinister's real fucking name?
James Mitchell.
Yeah, James I was going to say Vanderbeek, but that's his gimmick name.
Well, James Mitchell might be his gimmick name as well. I don't know his real name.
Well, I think most would have been like, so, or like the Bucks when they found out. Okay, so the only one who was like kind of probably the most honest was Brian Cage. He's like, how dare he? Oh, wait a minute. That doesn't change the goddamn thing. Let it register, because it doesn't change a goddamn thing. Just be happy.
It's also a generational thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember.
Put on Canyon did that to himself. Not to fucking victim blame or anything, but like all that pressure, that was his making.
Yeah, no. But let's be honest. And I think, number one, that Boy George thing that they did, that no way they didn't know. It's too much of a coincidence.
But couldn't it just be the lisp? No, it's not just the lisp.
It's not the lisp. They got wind that he was gay, and they did that. So you can see.
I find that hard to believe. I'll just throw that out there.
You know, see, here's the thing, though. You're right, it is a different time, but it could just be Vince like, oh, that's funny. It doesn't necessarily need to be him, you know, trying to attack him. Because they did that. They look at the shit they did to JR and all them back
then. I don't think it was attacking. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it was like super like, oh, we're going to bury this guy to no end. I think like, oh, this will be funny. Let's try it out. And now who it happened to? That's terrible. And the only reason why I don't think it was maliciously on purpose is because of Undertaker. I don't think he would have did that. I don't think he can't even deserve that to be.
I mean, I've never heard anything about Taker being
Didn't they say he was a fan of Canyon too? So yeah, it wasn't like chronic or anything.
I think they knew he was gay, but let's be honest, they never would have, not that they would have anyways, but they never were going to put a belt, the main belt on an openly gay wrestler at that time.
Oh.
No way. No way at that time. Now, sure, but
I'm not going to say no way.
I don't know what year that was, but yeah, dude, they never would. Again, it was a different time. They were not going to do it. And I felt really bad because I'm sure he had to feel like a, you know, like, man, he had to know they knew too. And I don't know. That one made me feel bad. I remember watching it back then and I didn't think anything of Boy George or, you know, obviously I didn't know Canyon was gay, but I thought it was dumb. I was like, man, why are you making this guy a nothing? Like, even if you don't see him as a world champion, he's so talented. You can do something with the guy.
I was a fan of Champagne Chris Canyon, too. That character.
But, yeah, I mean, let's talk a little bit about James Mitchell. He was a very big part of it. I expected DDP to get more time on this because they were really close, but
he's James probably too positive.
And he has a nice relationship with WWE still, so
that's true.
He might even be under a Legends contract that would prevent him.
DDP? No, he's had those AEW appearances not too long ago.
Okay, that's right.
I just think he's too positive for the show.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
He probably didn't give him anything juicy enough. But
like, we unless can't it was, edit this into fucking drama.
Unless it was his documentary, then it's okay.
But yeah, James Mitchell. It kind of seems like Canyon wanted people to know, like that whole like a massive stack of gay porn falls out of your car. I feel like if you're really trying to hide it that hard, you wouldn't.
I don't see the big fucking deals. Like, my brother played a joke on me. How hard is that to cover up?
Yeah.
True. But so again,
no, he probably didn't want to throw all of his good shit away.
Why do you say it angrily, Dan?
All right, fuck you, Todd. I'll say it polite next time.
No, why are you hating on homosexual pornography? It's they got to do stuff too.
Hey, absolutely.
That anger says different, but.
Yeah.
It seems like he was kind of wanting people to know.
Well, of course, he doesn't want to live in the fucking shadows his entire life. He's like, if I'm outed, then that burden's taken away. But also, he's got that New Jersey tough guy attitude, where it's like, if you out me, I'll probably kill you though. Catch 22.
Where do you think he would be today? Like, if he had had that chance now,
AEW.
Yeah,
I mean, how far would he go? Because I think he could go pretty far.
When there was only one pond, I don't think he would have gotten any further than he did that mid card level. I think now he'd be people go nuts over Glacier now, and everyone hated him then. Like when he popped up at GCW, I was like, you guys are popping for this, but whatever. So I mean, I think
he had a cool entrance, Todd.
So did Seven, but no one's calling for that gimmick.
Dude, fucking great. I am.
Oh, Pugs would come in his pants if Seven came out in the Royal Rumble.
When they had AEW had that little thing where they wanted Dustin to join the Dark Order, and 8 and 10 were telling him, be Seven. I'm like, oh my fucking God, now is the time. Pull that trigger. Yeah. So yeah, I am the 1-7 fan. It's a total missed opportunity. Make Canyon 7.
Canyon should be 7. But, man, though, Canyon obviously could be pretty violent. I mean, that stuff with James Mitchell, and like 1 minute he's your best friend, then he's like kicking the shit out of you in the hotel room.
That's mental health, man.
The car. Holy shit.
Dude, the car, the choking. Like, he's. You're being a battered wife and not get, and like, I'm being the homie helping you out. What, why? But you, like, you always hurt the ones you love the most. So he probably felt super safe. Like, I can attack him and he'll forgive me. So let me go fix my papers before I fuck this dude up.
Yeah. But still, I don't know. You choke me out in a hotel room, I think I'm going to keep my distance. but
yeah, but he also had to work with him every day.
That's true. That's true. And you mentioned Ready to Rumble. Canyon also did a lot of stuff for like video games back then. A lot of the motion capture. I remember he was doing a whole lot of that. There's just a lot you could have done. Even now, I mean, hell, he's Dustin Rhodes' age. He could still be wrestling. But I could easily see him as a coach or something. I think he's one that he's not a household name, but I think he had a lot of impact on modern wrestling. So maybe. In a bad way, in some ways, but
with that being said, Todd, you want to bring up the Kruger's comment?
Nope.
So he said, Canyon, from our buddy Kruger, Canyon was a great worker. His mic work wasn't as fantastic as his ring work, though, and that's a big thing that still hurt him in today's wrestling. Yeah. He would put on great matches, but I still feel like he wouldn't draw a bunch of money.
Yeah, it depends. He did have the size. Now that is one thing, like, you know, which is starting to matter again, at least to WWE. So he wasn't a small guy. So I think, I don't know. I'm a little more optimistic. He wouldn't have been John Cena, but I think he could have been an upper mid carder and found a niche somewhere.
Cesaro would probably be what he would be. Yeah. I think.
Exactly. You know, he's got a spot. He's
makes everyone else look good. Yeah.
Yeah, and he gets thrown a bone once in a while. Maybe he gets a WrestleMania win. But, man, it seemed like he got injured at the worst time because he actually was doing okay in WWE first, which people forget. I mean, he was a U.S. and tag champ. I always felt, in a perfect world, I always loved the Jersey Triad run that he had with DDP and Bigelow.
I like that, too.
I thought they were cool. I really loved that. I think Bam Bam was pretty messed up by the close of WCW, so I don't think it was in the cards. But I always thought that would have done really well on WWE TV. I could have seen them going a long ways with that. And, yeah, I don't know. It was so sad then seeing the Stern stuff and – he was so deflated. They really make you hate Ric Flair a lot of ways in this show. I mean, I still love Ric Flair, but goddamn, dude, like, ugh. So bad. But
I want to defend it, but I'm not going to because I don't think it should have been said on air.
No, it shouldn't have been.
But that's what Howard Stern's for.
it's just tough. Like, when you're way up here, it really can hurt when that guy's kicking you. And same thing with Cena, who, by God. Back then, I think you're right. Like, you have no business criticizing Canyon. Not back then. Back then, you were the guy that was still getting shoved down our throats. I respected him later, but, you know, back then. Come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was really cool seeing the impact he had on Brian Cage and the Bucks and some of that early, and Luke Hawks, some of that early, early stuff that they did. We'll be, I'm sure, seeing more of him on an upcoming episode. Yeah, and I didn't realize how cool. I mean, his first suicide threat was to, I think it was Matt Buck. Or Jackson, whatever.
One of the Bucks. That's a lot to put on a kid, too. Like, what the fuck?
there were some of the vets have some serious mental health issues. Like, I was told stories when I was just hanging out at shows trying to get into wrestling, and they're like, look, if you're ever in a locker room with this guy, he's depressing as fuck. If you're ever in a locker room with this guy, be very careful. Make sure you shake his hand or you'll get popped in the nose. Everybody has their quirk, and Canyon was still from that era. But I hope, if nothing else, this episode makes everybody appreciate the legacy that he left, because I do think he did. You go back and look, he did quite a bit. We saw him go off the top of that cage, the Jersey Triad. He had a lot of really cool moments that is he going to go in the Hall of Fame? No, but man, was he really good. I hope people will take the time to go on the network, watch some of his old stuff, and really just marvel at how good the guy was. You watch any modern wrestling match right now and you're going to see some of Canyon, because he was legitimately, and back then I watched everything. A lot of things he did first, and he did really well. And
he was the Invasion MVP. Don't forget that.
There you go. Yes, absolutely.
The innovator of offense.
Innovator of offense.
All right.
Rest in peace. Yes. Yeah. Yes. You were a legend, and sucks, man. It sucks, but I don't think he'll be forgotten. He's one that I've always remembered well from that time. And also WCW, because, look, we needed the Canyons. We needed the Crowbars, the Daphnes, that made it watchable towards the end. So,
oh, I'm excited for her, Dark Side of the Ring. But until then, what's the next episode?
All right, moving on to our next episode, which was Blood and Wire, Onita's FMW. All right, so for those of unaware, which I think probably quite a few watching Dark Side of the Ring now are, FMW was founded in 1989 by Atsushi Onita. It's a company that I think a lot of people got to know through some of the videotapes distributed back in the day. Of course, lots of great Sabu, Mick Foley, Terry Funk stuff from FMW. And they were a company that did a lot for the first time. You know, everybody knows ECW.
They weren't fucking around over there.
Oh, they did not fuck around at all. I remember hearing stories about electrified swimming pools and thinking, like, my God, I'm not – how do I get a hold of this shit? That sounds awesome. And, you know, it took a little while, unfortunately, because I was the guy, even if I couldn't watch it, I knew about what was going on because I was just a wrestling dork, and then, you know, getting into tape trading and all that.
You didn't need to add wrestling to that sentence.
Look, God damn. All right. So, Todd, you're the old fuck among us. When did you kind of first discover FMW? Because you were a tape trader too, right? Back.
Yeah.
Of course he was. You know this man at all? I wish I knew you back then. Shit.
Oh, yeah. He taught it.
You could have, but then it would have been weird.
You keep saying that, but he's my big buddy.
I'm just selling videotapes to these kids out of my car. What's
let me get an FMW and one of those anal gapers. XPW? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, remember exactly when, but it was during, you know, the you know, the King of the Death Match stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, like, once I got to see it, like, I couldn't, because again, obviously I didn't understand how you take a bump or anything like that back then. So I was like, how the fuck are they doing this and not dying? And not just like fucking like bleeding to death in the ring. It was mind blowing to a kid my age. And
Hold up. Kruger is chiming in. Onita is God. And Onita is having a fucking exploding ring death match here at the end of the month. Where?
Yeah, here or like Arizona? You'll have to fill us in on that one.
Yeah, you will have to. Well, I will say the biggest mistake AEW made was
versus fucking Matt Tremont. Where have I been? Where?
I'm guessing that's GCW.
H2O.
Okay.
New Jersey.
He's smart to take bookings right now, coming off of this episode.
So Tremont's promotion.
But yeah, man, when
it's gonna go off without a hitch, I'm like that. Yeah, I was gonna say that one. I want to see.
And then when they were actually having the balls to show clips of Onita, I was like, man, they are setting people up for disappointment. And certainly it went even worse than I thought it would. But yeah, man, Onita, I mean, he is known. I mean, in Japan, certainly. I mean, he is an icon. But
he still feel game shows, movies, TV shows. He's one of their biggest stars. He was The Rock before The Rock.
Yeah, absolutely. I would much rather see Onita in the Fast and the Furious movies. I'd start watching again. That is
racist, sir.
Well, at least he didn't say which one.
Okay.
I could see Onita like just
yeah, we know which one, Dan.
Blading
Vin
Diesel. But anyway,
him and Han hanging out.
Man. Family. Insert subtitles. Yeah, I really loved watching this.
Hold up, Dan. Mr. Kruger, Onita has also been testing his exploding rocket, too. I don't watch wrestling anymore, but I am watching that match. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see that as well. I knew certain things here, but there were some behind-the-scenes things that I didn't have the full story.
The Yakuza? I had no idea. Makes sense, though.
That's not a shock. That's pretty... pretty common. And I had heard of like wrestling connections with the Yakuza. But still, like, man, what a fucking story. Can you imagine how scared you are? I mean, if Tony Khan fails, he's not going to have somebody like cut his fingers off.
We'll see.
You know, wrestling was dangerous.
Waiting for their crown jewel.
And I was a big Terry Funk guy. So that used to kill me back in the day because I was like, how the fuck do I see this shit?
Also, seeing Terry Funk in the doc made me really happy. I'm like, I really hope he's that lucid and cool. Because, like, with those rumors going around, I was like, oh, fuck. Terry Funk's a fucking awesome guy. I don't want him to be, like, all in pain and shit more than he has to be.
I think he's doing okay. I know he's, like, in a... I think the reports made it worse than it was. I know he's in like an assisted living thing, but I think he seemed good. So I was happy to see that too. I mean, shit, that guy would still fucking wrestle right now if they'd let him. I mean,
dude,
shit, it hasn't been that long.
When I saw him, that was like half my life ago.
Right.
I saw him take a power bomb by Hugh Morris onto a concrete floor. And I'm thinking, like, what the fuck?
And that would have been in, like, his mid-50s.
Yeah, actually, probably late at that point. I was probably towards the end. But, yeah, man, just to see what Onita did before there was any kind of a blueprint. I mean, we know that Eric Bischoff ripped off stuff he saw in Japan. And not criticizing, hey, he took it and he made it huge.
Quentin Tarantino made a whole career out of that. So
Quentin Tarantino definitely made a whole career out of that. So I really appreciated him as a visionary, because he was, and you cannot take that away from him. There was nothing. This really all came from him. Now, granted, like, yes, he had some of the stuff that he did in Tennessee, some of the bloody brawls and everything, but my God, he upped it to the moon. So obviously this one's kind of a tragic story too. We do get the kids of the owner that took over, and that's terrible. You really felt bad for the guy. I mean, they stayed and to potentially
that's insane that they carry the debt over to the rest of the family members. They don't look around over there.
Oh, yeah, that just means you
Kruger said, what is it? Not the type of fuckers you want to go into business with. Amen, brother.
The clips here. I think this one will affect a lot of people that were not aware. I mean, I can't remember who is in the like the female wrestler that gets those burns all over her body. And then they're just like, it's like, you're up. You know, it's like, what the hell?
Vince McMahon would approve.
Vince would definitely approve. Interesting up and downs with FMW. I mean, they did come back a while ago. I think at this point, again, though, it I don't think it could ever be what it was.
Sounds like people are saying that about some certain company coming back now too.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. We don't know, but I'm hoping.
Me too.
Pugs, what were some of your like? What did you first kind of get to see? I assume it would be some of the videos that they put
out. It was,
in
Suncoast, I saw the FMW name. Yeah. I was like, hey, that's that thing Matt McFoley talks about. Mm-hmm. I've read shit. That sounds cool. There was two tapes. I don't remember the name of it, but it was blue. The opening match had Leatherface. And I was like, Leatherface is a wrestler? What the fuck? Like, I want this guy to win. And he it was one of the most violent things I've seen. Until the next match, which was one of the most violent things I've seen, until the fucking next match. So that shit clearly impacted like my love of wrestling, and that's the style I like to watch. XPW brought that to me. ECW, similar, and the hardcore matches in WCW and in WWE at the time, or WF at the time. I was like, none of that shit compares to this. So this is all cool, but FMW, holy crap.
It ruins it. Like that fire match that they had, Sabu and Sheik versus Onita and Tarzan. Like, I can't watch some Inferno match in WWE and be entertained after that. Like, they nearly fucking kill everyone in the entire arena.
Dude, the fact that everyone smartened up and got the fuck out of there, except I was like, put them out.
It's like, I can see the logo in the ring melting, and I'm still going to finish the match.
Dude, get me the fuck out
of here. To be sure, we've seen our fair share of people running on fire, too, Bucks.
Dude. Well, fucking Kruger has his back with the cross.
Yes.
Kruger said, Leatherface, Jason the Terrible, Nightmare Freddy, and the Boogeyman were all staples in that company. Coolest shit ever having horror characters like that. Yeah. Fuck yeah, dude. As a little horror fan, seeing Leatherface come out to the ring with a chainsaw, I was like, wait, what? This is amazing.
Yeah.
I wish they had had him come out as each version of Leatherface at some point. I don't think they ever did that, which I think would have been cool.
Yeah. I want the
never mind. I was he can push out Hayabusa like Grandpa, but that might be fucked up.
Get some valet, do your thing, cuz, and just like throw it in the ring and just have him clean house. Well, Todd's getting ideas.
As long as it's her, I'm cool with it.
Since I mentioned Hayabusa, that spot is hard to watch. That shit sucked. I felt so fucking terrible.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh. And I've talked about this before, but part of the reason that I didn't continue like training and actually going through with everything, draws was one. Like, I had a huge fear of being paralyzed. I was just like, come on, you're clumsy. At some point, you're going to take something wrong, and you're going to be in a wheelchair. And Hayabusa was another one.
And he wasn't clumsy.
No, he wasn't. And I knew how I was. Like, I, maybe not the greatest athlete in the world, but I would kill myself to have a good match. So I just felt like something. And that was what did it for me. I just, that image of just Spike, like, this is what it looks like when you fuck up and just Spike right on your head. Man, Hayabusa was so good. And that was a great moment hearing that he walked again.
Yeah. That was fucking rad. I was like, yeah, I'm not like a fucking tear mine or anything, but I was like, it felt really good. Like, yeah, let you go. Of course you can.
I recall him talking about trying to work again at one point, like some random internet interview or something back. Like, literally, I'm like, holy shit. Like, how is that even possible? It's not a good idea, I don't think, but.
Damn, have you ever did a moonsault?
I could back then. Yes. I could do a moonsault. Not pretty, but I could do a moonsault.
I would like to see that today.
Oh, I didn't say I could fucking do it today. My fat ass can't do it now. But
you're young. Take a suplex. Shut up.
I could back then. But yeah, it was kind of like a Terry Funk-ish moonsault, though, in fairness. Like, I sometimes would. You know? But I did. Yeah, a little bit. Oh, well, hell, it still hurt. But yeah, man, FMW, I mean, I can't say I grew up with it per se, but when I did get to see it, it influenced a lot, really captured the imagination. I think the showmanship that was in FMW, nobody's doing that right now. Maybe it's just because they have common sense. I don't know, but there's no, I mean, come on, somehow get a ring out by a beach. Do you know that? There's a lot of creativity that I feel people miss out on. And I really respect not only what he did in the ring, but I respect Onita's mind. I think he had a great mind. And I hope people will go back and discover FMW. Because, again, I don't think you'll ever get this again. You can see some great death matches and everything, but you won't get this specific FMW feel ever again. And it's, I don't know, it's sad. But Todd, figure out, we need an electrified pool. Come on,
a kiddie pool.
Yeah.
But I co-sign everything you said with Onita, and the fact that he's still able to move with relatively like ease. Yeah. Good on him for all the shit he's been through and come up with. So fuck yeah.
Yeah, he was a very different kind of worker too before, you know, he got hurt. And who knows if he hadn't, who knows where he might have gone. But yeah, anything else to say about FMW, guys?
Nope. No. It's awesome. Make sure you check it out.
I'll be respectful and not talk about how hot the daughters were, but yeah.
Gentleman and a scholar.
All right. Next up is Johnny Canine, Bikers, Bombs, and Bedlam, Johnny Canine. So I knew who he was, particularly because of the Smoky Mountain run. Again, I followed a lot of that at the time, but never had like a huge connection. I mean, I obviously saw him, you know, doing the job to many guys in WWF back in the day. But when they announced him, it took a minute, like, oh, Smoky Mountain. What did he do? What did you guys think of this episode? Because I don't have much of a history, obviously. But,
yeah, I knew like little to nothing about him. I know him as the WWE jobber. I kind of like when they brought up the Smoky Mountain thing, I kind of remembered it. But it's been forever since I've watched any of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was so much that we didn't know. I mean, about just his
blowing up police station.
it was a crazy story, but
Pugs, I didn't know shit about him.
Okay,
I didn't even recognize him as a jobber. Like, I knew the name. That's about it, and I never really cared to investigate. But damn, this dude seems like a violent teddy bear because he's either the most lovable guy in the room or a fucking troublemaker. And, you know, even he's not the catalyst, but he's, you know, that sounds like a good idea. Let's go. And let's fuck shit up. Like, okay, that's, I'm glad you're in my corner, but we need to make better decisions here because as loved as he was in the locker room, it appears like he should have been bigger. Like, I should have known him. But, you know, you get pulled in the wrong direction, hang with the wrong crowd. You think you have something to prove. Shit goes wrong. So I like that he was scary and, like, Jim Cornette knew what to do.
Yeah, he's another one of those guys I think you could have gotten more out of, but they just, for whatever reason, he never had that moment where it's like they slapped a gimmick on him and, you know, made him something, in WWF back then. He almost reminds me, like, in my card playing days, I knew a guy who was just similar to the way they describe him, where super nice, if he was your friend, nicest guy in the world, but also killed somebody in a bar once, stole a helicopter, a news helicopter once, did all of this crazy fucking shit that, you know, you wouldn't believe. and that's who he was. There's a lot of people like that that kind of live double lives. And, you know, you got the nice dude that's fun to hang out with. And little did you know, he's out there stealing helicopters and beating people to death in bars. Who started it, though? Didn't.
Helicopters. Just... That's fucking nuts.
That whole story was insane. I can't believe I fucking got it off the ground, but I did. didn't think too much about landing it, though. But that's a Patreon episode at some point. But Johnny Canine. This one, I don't have a ton to say about the episode. I do think this is like a good example of like there's other Johnny Canines out there in the wrestling business. Things have calmed down a lot, but I do still think you at least have a piece of that sort of carny era left, particularly on the indies. What a crazy guy. And he obviously loved wrestling because at a certain point he was making big bucks as a criminal and he still wrestled. So I wish that we could have had like some kind of interview, obviously, with him at some point to kind of get a window. I did pop that he was on Reaper. I didn't realize that. Yeah, so he did get some acting gigs, but yeah, I don't know. This guy was probably just destined for his fate, unfortunately. It's just who he was. And anything else to say about Johnny Canine? I know I don't have any like deep past stories from his career, unfortunately, to talk about.
This is one I say it's a good one, especially if you don't know anything about it. I mean, they're all good to watch, but this one in particular, it was probably the first one in a long time where I was like, okay, I didn't know like any of this. It's the first episode I felt like I went in, I didn't know any of this. Mm-hmm. There's some new information I didn't know before, but this one I knew nothing about it, which made it a great watch.
Yeah, the girlfriend who still obviously misses him a lot. It was also cool. I want to hear more from Lance Storm. I like Lance Storm is always really just fascinating to me. He's got a lot. He's a dry guy, but he has really good stories.
Watching Lance Storm choke up is a different kind of thing for me, because like he's supposed to be stoic. Wait, yeah, you got emotions too? What is happening? So like seeing him kind of like tear up, it was wild for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So one I think we're going to have probably more to talk about is our most recent one before the main event of XPW, which I'm beyond excited to see.
Is that the main event? Do we have shows after that?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
You're right. Our main event for sure.
Whether XPW closes or not, that is the main event. And guys,
I'm not arguing with that statement.
You will want to tune into our XPW show because we were there. Well, Todd and Pugs more than me, but I mean, we were all there for some of that shit. So I think we'll all have unique and Kruger. We'll all have unique perspectives on XPW. So don't miss that one. That's going to be its own episode. Or a couple episodes. But moving on to the many faces of Luna Vachon. So I was always a big fan back in the day and to this day of like anybody that stands out and is unique. And for me, at that time, Luna was insanely unique. I've talked to Todd about this. ODB was probably my favorite in TNA because she was different. She was entertaining as hell. And I was happy that she at least existed in an era where she was able to get the belt, get some notoriety. She never went to WWE, but nonetheless, she was able to be a star. Luna came along at a really just a bad time because Moolah still had, which we'll get into her, still had a stranglehold on women's wrestling. For all that she did for it, she also held it back a lot as well. And also more hashtag Me Too allegations once again in this episode, which I don't know if it's going to bring all that back again or not. But
no, there's not much they can do to Moolah at this point.
No, that is true. They can
take away her fucking womb trophy.
They did take that away.
Then that's still the dumbest fucking decision ever. Like, you have the Andre, the eighth wonder of the world memorial. You have China, who's the ninth wonder of the world. Just make it name after her, and that also helps her. You fuck.
China makes the most sense, or call it the Sensational Invitational. Do a Sherry Martel. I mean, you have multiple options.
Dan, how long have you been sitting on that?
A while, because yes, I have a great mind. But yeah, so I mean, again, I knew going in this one was going to be sad. I knew certain things. I don't remember that she wasn't a blood relative of
Butch. Yeah, I didn't know that actually.
Yeah, that one I think was one that must have been. I mean, I could have heard it and just forgot, but I don't really remember anything in a shoot interview about that or anything. I always assumed she was Butcher Vachon's daughter.
She was.
Yeah, she was, but I didn't realize that she was not a blood relative. And man, she carried on that name well. Luna, I the thing that I did know about was that heartache that she had during the Sable run, which had to be tough. That the story where it's like she walks to the back and they're cheering, and then it's like, oh, they don't care about me. They just start hugging Sable. Like,
she should have been acknowledged for her to make Sable look good. I think that didn't even register to me because, like, I was a kid, I didn't give a shit. I was like, fuck yeah, Sable, she's hot, Luna. But looking back, oh yeah, she looks good because of Luna. Now I believe you can actually do some moves because you're working with a fucking person that knows exactly what to do and exactly how to fucking make you look awesome. So that does suck. Someone should have high-fived her. Shouldn't have been Sunny because she can't take a fucking punch.
That was my favorite, the funniest part of this episode, where it's like they talked about her shoving her into like a crate and then like just shaking her up and down. It's like, I'm not hitting her.
I'm not hitting her face. She probably went to the hot dog line after, though, right, Todd?
That's right. Well, we'll tell that story.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be some hot dog rants on the XPW episode. But no, it just, she was entertaining, though. Whatever she did, the Gold Dust run, yeah, they weren't letting her wrestle, but she was always entertaining. And also,
Kruger says Brock Lesnar is the GOAT for saying he was going to get on top of Sable after beating a dude half to death in the UFC fight. Fuck yeah.
God, that would be
the
sex tape nobody wants to see, but you're gonna have to.
I want
to
see Brock Lesnar tear that shit up.
New definition to beat up the pussy.
Yeah. I swear to God, if he's sensual, I'll be so mad. I'm like, really?
For four plays about six Germans onto the mattress before he even gets started.
Kruger's gonna get mad. That's taking his spots.
But yeah, no, I loved seeing footage of the Blackhearts and her work with Gangrel.
I just fucked myself because now I want Kruger to, not Kruger, I want Lesnar to treat Sable like Rocco Siffredi. It's just fucking
only if he talks like Rocco Siffredi.
It's only a smell.
It's just the smells. And
it's the red lube.
Now I'm picturing if they just fucked Lesnar up and made him a member of La Resistance instead of it. They just debuted him that way. Just have him like come out with like a little mustache glued on. He could have been the Muscle Man.
Actually, what kind of mustache he would pick?
That's fucked up. French, God, French. But yeah, back to Luna before we do this for an hour. I did really like some of the early footage of her and Gangrel. I always really respected Gangrel. He was one that I remember at one point hearing that he trained people and thinking like, oh man, that might be cool to train with Gangrel. I didn't, obviously.
My buddy, he was trained by Gangrel and Rikishi when they have their school in Burbank. Yeah. So I went to a few of those. So it was cool meeting them. Like prior to that, I didn't know them.
Gangrel is a very cool guy, and I mean, I don't know him personally, but I know a lot of people who
have like, hung out
with him at shows, and yeah, Gangrel's a very just a cool dude.
That was almost verbatim. That's what Kruger said. Cool dude.
Now Kruger's gonna have to. He's gonna be pissed. Like literally,
lots of good stories.
Sorry, Kruger.
I wish Gangrel would have been bigger because he has one of the coolest entrances, one of the coolest fucking music. All he does is spit blood and DDT people.
How is that not money? He did more than that. He's a great, well-rounded wrestler. But yeah, he was always kind of like the bump guy. And even he said that himself. He thinks maybe he was too good at it. I mean, you go back and
he probably wasn't selfish enough to get it and go for it. So.
Yeah. You see him take like Undertaker's flying clothesline and you think he was dead from it. He just really was a great bumper.
I thought it was cool when he came back that one time when he had no sleeves. I was like, oh, it's your perfect time. Kruger, Gangrel's pimp walk is the greatest entrance in wrestling.
Cosign.
He's proof to me that WWE just didn't know how to book supernatural or dark characters like that after.
What do you mean? Mordecai was great.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. It's like they just couldn't pull it off anymore. It always went into
Undertaker. That's their only perfect one. Even they fucked up the Fiend. So
I do not know.
Kane. I don't think they really fucked him up. Yeah,
but
he took off his mask and stuff. Like there's a certain part,
but they were still following the Undertaker formula. So it was still
they can't do it now to save their life, and it's sad, but. Or at least recognize when it works, so Luna, some of that
we're doing the same thing to her that everyone else did.
Some of that early stuff.
She was one of my favorite female workers, like her and Jacqueline in that era. Like
first they were the actual workers.
Yeah,
you needed that because you had to have some kind of a match.
I was saying, well, you guys know I'm not like the hugest fan of intergender because of the believability factor, but you have something like Luna and Mick Foley. I believe that because I believe, you know, Luna is going to be there with the guys fucking them up.
The steel cage match she had with Stevie Richards and ECW, that made me think like, man, if she had been able to stick around ECW more, she would have had back then. I'm sure the money wasn't what she wanted, but she might have had some even bigger moments. She is somebody I don't think we would have like Ruby Riott or Ruby Soho and some of these workers now that are breaking out if it weren't for Luna. And I think she's probably somebody that didn't think she had an impact, which is again really really sad, but she did. She really really did. And And she was one. She loved wrestling. She wanted that belt so bad. And I think of all these, like, no names that had it at some point. And how do you not put it on her briefly?
This just further proves Alundra Blaze Medusa doesn't give a shit about that.
Yeah, why didn't they? They also didn't address her as Alundra Blaze. They just said, "Oh, it's Medusa, Medusa." And like, when you held that belt, you were Alundra Blaze, bitch. Don't be fucking lying. But I'm glad she was willing to fucking, you know, get in trouble for Luna, because Luna should have just did it. But she's just too much of a not a goody two shoes, but like, you know,
it wasn't the business too much.
Yeah.
Towing the line. Yeah, I think she was. And she was also like, she made herself into Luna Vachon. That's the commitment, because she was a pretty lady. Like, you go back in this episode and see her, you know, not Luna'd up. She was a very attractive lady. She
reminded me of, I can't think of her last name. Carrie Maroney, the one from Night of the Demons.
Kelly Maroney.
Kelly Maroney. There we go. Yeah, that's who she reminded me of before.
Night of the Comet. Yeah.
Jeez, I'm getting the wrong names on everything. Yes, from Night of the Comet.
Oh, that one bitch.
that's who she reminded me before, like, she went full Luna.
Yeah, she could have easily have been a baby face and done it the more traditional route. I thought that was really cool, seeing that early Florida stuff with Kevin Sullivan. I'd forgotten that she debuted as a reporter that he basically possessed and turned into, his sex slave, I guess. some of that, they were doing stuff ahead of its time as well. I don't know that there's a dark side of the ring exactly with Kevin Sullivan, but I do enjoy hearing about it. Well, we won't go there.
Yes, we know he killed Benoit, Dan. We get it.
I didn't say that, Todd.
That's what you're gonna say, though. So you're one of them.
How the hell? Now, I'm not a drug guy. How the hell? They talked about Miami at that time. How the hell do you take over 100 pills in a day? Like, I don't even understand how you live a week doing that. Like, that is just insane to me. I don't get it. And that the drug scene that they talk about, pugs must do pills.
I can tell you haven't looked at our private chat once, because, yeah.
My bad.
I've been sending you notes for, like, the last hour.
I see the notes. I just...
Oh, now you do.
They're blocking the mic. With the mic. I think that I just wish she had had more of a shot. I saw her a couple times not too long before she died on the indies, and she still looked good. I mean, she's obviously past the point where she was going to get a big contract at that time, but I remember she had a match with Jessica Havoc actually at one point. I think it was Jessica Havoc earlier in her career. And but man, the mental disorder she had, I mean, she was not afraid to whip an ass. Reiterates that Moolah stuff, like Moolah whoring the girls out, which is
as Kruger said, dark. Allegedly.
Allegedly. but man, Dick Slater, I was a little disappointed that they didn't get into him more, because he was certifiably insane, and I kind of wanted to see a little bit more of her run with Dick Slater, but they kind of glossed over that. Talk a lot about the relationship with Gangrel, and I didn't realize that she was actually married to Tom Nash before Gangrel. Her son seemed a little bitter about that.
It seems like there's a little bit of overlap on those two.
yeah, a lot of overlap. But
you talking about when the kid said, "I don't care how she died." That came off cold as fuck at first.
Oh no, yeah, like, that the way
he just like said she's not here. Yeah,
yeah.
It could also be editing, but
yeah, what does it matter? I mean, I got the sense he loved his mom. He just never saw her, unfortunately.
I want to know how that meal turned out, though, once he got the news, since he when he had to go do a chef job playing a ball salty, all the tears.
That's fucked up, Pugs.
just curious.
I did laugh when Gangrel was like talking about her just beating the shit out of him while he was driving, biting him in Rusty Brooks' ring. All of this just crazy shit. But the best part was when she got fired and Gangrel comes home. Vampire, come in here. And then she had fuck you, Vince, written out in cocaine and snorted it all. That was gold.
That showed him.
Because when they showed it in opening, I thought it like they were doing something funny and it said Vice. Because all you could see was the VI when they were showed it in the opening.
Yeah, that was just so cool. That should just be the opening. They should have had one of the body doubles just sitting there like snorting like a fuck you, Vince powder. But yeah, like really goes over like the because we forget like she really wasn't wrestling much for a lot of her WWE run. She was just, you know, kind of a valet. And yeah, but looking at it again, and we do actually get some audio from a shoot interview she did. So you get to see her tell her own story too, which is always, always nice. And if she came along now, I think her talent would be undeniable. She would be probably the top heel in one of the companies and having a great, great run. But she did leave a legacy. And I also don't think she will be forgotten. I think people will remember her. And now with the network, I think people can go back and watch some of her stuff. Sad episode, the suicide attempts and all that.
I never noticed the slashes on her wrist, but now I want to go back and look if I could see them.
It's hard on a camera. Yeah, I was going to say it's probably hard on a camera. I almost teared up a little bit when Gangrel was like apologizing for, you know, having to move on basically at the end. I thought that was actually one of the more touching things. Like he wasn't working there. You could tell like two crazy people and they just couldn't coexist, but you could still see the love there. So I thought that was kind of,
doesn't always work. Bad.
No, it doesn't always work. Doesn't, you know, and unfortunately there it did not, but rest in peace, Luna. You are an icon and you won't be forgotten. Guys, again, XPW will probably have a couple episodes, and I can safely say you will probably get a lot from us. I'm assuming you might not get out of Dark Side of the Ring because XPW is, oh man.
I just hope we don't just focus on the Messiah stuff because there's more to it than that. I have a feeling that's going to be a big part of it.
That's going to be like half of the Dark Side
of
the Ring.
Which I get it needs to be, but
yeah, there's a lot you forget. There's a lot of other crazy shit there, but I'm curious to see who they actually interviewed also.
I hope NC's on there. Maybe we'll have him as a special guest.
We got to have him in frame at least.
But yeah, that one I can safely say is going to be a must listen. Yeah, so guys, fleshwoundfeatures.com. Check out the Teespring store, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. It all starts at just a buck. Early uncensored content, some stuff that will never see the light of day anywhere else. So check it out. $1, support us. We hope you're having a happy Halloween. Hit our very active Discord, Flesh Wound Features, or Horror Cartel Flesh Wound Radio group on Facebook. Follow Flesh Wound Radio on Twitter. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm Flesh Wound Dan, and I forget if your guys' exact Twitters, but
fuck you guys. Your real name.
Pugs Dread.
At Pugs Dread, 2 D's.
2 D's, and Todd. That was a segue, Todd. I was trying to get you to say it.
I think it's Flesh Wound Todd, but you could just hit me at Flesh Wound Features.
There you go.
Well, we're all on that one. Well, me and Pugs.
I know, but if you're like a crazy stalker type and you want to like stalk us separately, and
I prefer not. So
Kruger's on there as well. Send your dick pics to Todd. It's all good. He doesn't mind.
What's wrong with that? If I did,
there's nothing wrong with
that. Well, the way you said it makes it.
You might want some dick pics, so I was being nice. I was saying you could share them all with Todd. Thank you very much.
Check him in with Dan first. Make sure he approves. Don't waste Todd's time.
Yeah.
With that being said, gentlemen,
it's a 9-inch minimum. So
let's get the fuck out of here.
And yes, good night, guys. Follow us all. Kruger, me, Todd, Pugs, and we'll all be on XPW. So good night.